Good morning. I'm Susan Drummond, the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is Thursday morning, about 9 a.m., May 23rd, 2019. We have one item on the agenda. This is a specially set administrative appeal hearing for the West Sound Support Services LLC appeal, case number 19-01136. If I can first have counsel introduce themselves, and if you could please be sure to turn on your microphone. Otherwise, the system probably will not catch you.
Laura Zippel, representing DCD.
Morning, Madam Examiner. My name is James Carmody. I represent West Sound Support Services, and with me today is Alan Fry from West Sound Support Services.
Good morning, Dee Boughton, and I represent Washington State for Public Safety. To my right is Shane Seaman. He's also my law partner, represents Washington State for Public Safety.
Okay. Thank you. And I understand Mr. Morrison for Intervenor DeVille will be joining us shortly. There he is. If you could go ahead and just briefly maybe step up to Mr. Carmody, the microphone right there. And be sure to turn it on, otherwise we will not catch you.
Good morning. I'm Andrew Morrison, attorney on behalf of Mr. DeVille,
okay,
a resident of Elm.
All right, thank you. So I think first a few procedural items. I want to make sure that I have everything that the parties have filed. Ms. Walston has numbered these exhibits, but first, DCD, there was witness list, opening brief, reply brief, supplemental witness list, and then the exhibits 1 through 11 are what I have. Intervenor WSPS, also witness list, opening brief, reply brief, and then exhibits have been numbered 1 through 6. And then the appellant, West Sound Support Services, there's the motion to file over length brief. The exhibits are all attached to that. So I guess 3 through 11, the witness list, and then the reply brief with the attached exhibits, 14 through 19. So all total, there's 19 exhibits. The briefing was given an exhibit number. And then, let's see, Intervenor DeVille, we've got the opening brief and reply brief, so exhibits 1 and 2. So I think I have everything, but are there any questions on that piece? Okay. And I think there was a motion for the over-length brief. This was filed by West Sound Support Services LLC. I believe it's 17 pages. Were there any objections from the parties to that?
No objection to the overlength brief, Your Honor.
Okay. That will be admitted, so that motion is dealt with. There was also a motion from DCD to strike some of the exhibits that were filed by the appellant. DCD, did you want to briefly address that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So our concerns with that was, one, certain exhibits attached to the brief were not included in the exhibit list, which had a clear deadline prior to the brief being submitted. Additionally, there were two exhibits. The first was Attachment A, I believe, talked about services in King County, and the county doesn't believe that's relevant to today as it's regarding King County, where Kitsap County is very different. Zoning regulations, government structure, funding structure, all of that. And then additionally, Attachment E, we had some concerns with because there wasn't really a clear foundation. We didn't know who the author was. We didn't know.
I'm sorry, that was Exhibit E. That was the Hunt memo or brief,
yes,
report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, right. Sorry. I think it was Attachment E or Exhibit E.
Mm-hmm.
That was a paper and it had the University of Washington on it, but it was unclear as to what it was for, the author's qualifications, where the information was coming from, if there's any kind of, if it was for sort of a class or a thesis or something, if there was a specific assignment that it was done to meet. So there isn't a way for the department to argue its potential weight, if any, that should be given to it.
Mr. Carmody?
With each of our briefs, we included attachments which were publicly available documents, published matters. They're not offered for purposes of the substantive comment, but for assistance to you. So we gave you, for example, copies of the zoning ordinance or copies of the WACs applicable to adult family homes. The two matters are publicly available. The first one that was referenced dealt with developmentally disabled individuals, and the primary portion of that is the last page, which just simply discusses what developmental disabilities mean, generally available information. The second one was a thesis at the University of Washington that was a published document, so it's no different than a law review or that sort of document. We included it for those purposes.
So are they exhibits then? Is that what they were intended?
No, they're just attachments to the brief, just so like I would give you a copy of a case. I gave you copies of Sunderland so that you'd have access to them.
So
this
they're
was
not
something that's published publicly. So on a brief, if I'm writing and saying, here's a published article or story,
you
reference it and I try to give it to you.
So none of these are offered as evidence then?
Correct. We will cover the one substantive point in the thesis with direct testimony today.
Okay, so a little unusual because there were cases attached on the reply, and that makes perfect sense. And in the comp plan and all that, I can take official notice of. It sounds like really the concerns were with A and E. But if they're not offered as evidence, then it sounds like
I'll make it simple. If it's a problem or it creates a question in your mind, I'm happy stipulating to the fact that they're not offered for purposes of evidence.
Okay.
Or if you want to just simply say they're not admitted as exhibits, that's fine as well.
Okay.
Because the intent wasn't to use them as substantive evidence.
Okay. All right, so I guess that makes it simple then, since the appellants are not seeking to admit them as exhibits, they're not exhibits, and I guess whether or not, I suppose in direct, so I can't rely on them as substantive evidence in kind of formulating my decision, I guess, is what's being said. So it sounds like the motion is essentially conceded to, is what I'm hearing. So I guess the motion is granted and they won't be served as exhibits based upon Mr. Carmody's response on that. So. Okay. Any questions on that?
Does that include all of the content? Because I think the county's motion only applied to certain portions or certain documents. We had objected to the consideration of all of those documents. It's what I've heard is there's a stipulation that they would not be admitted into evidence, which we would certainly agree with.
Okay. And other than the comp plan, yeah, that's fine. I take judicial notice of that. But on the other, is that Mr. Carmody, is that a correct kind of phrasing on your
correct
understanding of those?
Yes.
Other than the comp plan? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that really applies to all of them then. So, okay. I think those are the two procedural issues we need to address before we get started. Are there any other procedural questions or issues that need to be addressed at this time? Okay. So, in terms of order of procedure on this, sometimes the planning department will provide a summary. Do we want to do that today or skip that for now?
It's really up to the hearing examiner. We're prepared to do just a quick statement if need be. But at the same time, since this has been briefed rather thoroughly, we're happy to rest on the briefing in the interest of saving time.
Okay. And the other parties, too, we could also have, I don't know if the parties wanted to make opening arguments as well today. I would anticipate they would be short because I have reviewed the briefs for this. But Yeah, Mr. Carmody?
My feeling is I would waive an opening statement. It's a de novo hearing. The burden of proof is on the county, so I think the appropriate procedure that makes sense to me, would be for them to proceed with their case.
Normally it would be the appellants, because it is an appeal proceeding. I understand the burden of proof there, but normally it would be the appellants that would proceed with the substantive piece. But let's deal with, in terms of the opening arguments first, let's deal with that question. Sounds like maybe we don't need them, but...
We would be willing to waive opening arguments.
All right. Well, since I've read the briefing, we'll go ahead and skip past the opening arguments. And then in terms, I guess the next question is the order in terms of case presentation. Normally the appellant would proceed first because they've filed the appeal.
Even though this is a de novo hearing and the county recognizes they have the burden of proof?
Is there any other?
I'm happy to go first.
Either way.
But I want to make sure that... I'll get a rebuttal opportunity and that sort of thing if I start first, and they'll be able to present their direct case as well as the intervener's direct case. I'll have an opportunity to respond.
And I would assume the interveners, whichever party they're aligned with, would go coordinate on that and go either right after or kind of during the presentation of the main party. Did the other parties have views on the order procedure on this? Mr. Boughton?
I was just anticipating that we would, since WSPS, for purpose of this hearing, is, I think, pretty largely aligned with DCD's position, that we would simply follow them. I don't know that I have a position on, who goes first.
Ms. Zippel?
I don't have a position on who goes first. We're happy to go first if that's easier and clearer, but at the same time,
So, Mr. Carmody, it sounds like the county would be fine with going first. I mean, does the council have a preference one way or the other on that?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe it's more efficient for the DCD to proceed first if there are no objections on that.
We're ready.
Okay. That will be the order of procedure then, and then the interveners will proceed following the county's presentation.
Thank you.
The intervener that's aligned, WSPS, which is aligned with DCD. So.
Can I raise a question?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I should have raised this when you were talking about the procedural issues to start with. We had talked at the pre-hearing conference about whether or not cross-examination would be permitted to the interveners, and there was, I think, some reservation on that of seeing how the briefing played out. And I'm wondering if the hearing examiner has guidance for us about whether or not you automatically be granting that right to the interveners, or if we would be kind of asking for special permission to ask your own questions. I'm not sure if you have a decision at this point about kind of what level of role we can play.
I'm inclined to allow some limited cross-examination without advanced permission, with the understanding that the primary parties are the ones that are kind of leading the charge, so to speak, on the issues that have been raised. But does council have a views on that?
The department is fine with the interveners having limited cross-examination, just concerns about if we're starting to run really long.
Yeah.
Just cutting that off so that we're not here all day.
Mr. Carmody, anything?
That's fine with me.
Okay. Yeah, I think that will be the approach. You do want to keep it efficient and consistent with the issues that are raised, but yeah,
we'll
deal with that. So, okay. Ms. Zippel, did you want to call your first witness?
Yes, Jim Bolger for the department. Mr. Bolger.
And Mr. Bolger, you can either from there or here, whichever is your preference.
I'll stay here.
Okay. If you could state your name for the record.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Jim Bolger.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Jim Bolger. I'm the assistant director of the Department of Community Development. on March 5th, 2019, I sent a letter of notice of violation to the property owners, their representative, and Kitsap Tenant Support Services' program manager that they were in violation of Kitsap County Code Title 17 for maintaining an unpermitted use at 17373 Viking Way Northwest. This location is in a rural residential zone of unincorporated Kitsap County. At the time that I sent the notice, I was serving as the interim director of the Department of Community Development. The department's determination was based on the use of the site as a less restrictive alternative facility with enhanced services for sexually violent predators. The department first became aware of this use in December of 2018. This was brought to our attention through the community. There may have been earlier contact with the county, but the department's knowledge really was initiated in December. In that days after the department learned of the use at the Viking Way facility, there was a public meeting that included a number of representatives from state agencies, including the Department of Social and Health Services, the Department of Corrections, the Kitsap County Sheriff's Office, as well as the department, to provide general information to the public, specifically about less restrictive alternatives and the facility on Viking Way. This was really an opportunity for the department to learn quite a bit about the program and the facility. Based on some of that information and further investigation by the department, with the assistance of the Kitsap County Prosecutor's Office, we were able to assess the use more specifically and determine that it was an unpermitted use. It was not one of the uses that's identified in our Title 17 zoning code. We looked at whether or not it would be something that could be considered a like use, which is oftentimes a procedure that's laid out in Kitsap County Code for potential uses that may be similar to an existing use that's identified in the code. We could not base findings that are stipulated in code that needed to be made to make that determination. And so that essentially was the basis of the determination that this was a notice of violation and they'd have to cease that use at that location. If I could just further go on, some of the findings that are necessary for the department to make a like-use determination is that we need to determine that the proposed use meets the intent and is consistent with the goals, objectives, and policies of the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan, and that it shall meet the stated purpose and general intent of the Comprehensive Plan land use designation and zoning classification, which the use is proposed to be located, and that the proposed use shall not adversely impact the public health, safety, and general welfare of the residents of the county. And lastly, that the proposed use shall share characteristics in common with and not be of greater intensity, density, or generate more environmental impact than those uses listed in the land use zone in which it is to be located. In the department's investigation of this particular use, we found that we could not sustain elements A, B, and D of those findings. Element C, which is the proposed use shall not adversely impact the public health, safety, and general welfare of the residents. We made no determination on that because a lot of the conditions in which those uses or in which the residents are placed in that facility are determined by the courts and so are outside the consideration of any kind of county jurisdiction or authority. And county code indicates that all four of those need to be met in order to classify a use as a like use. That's it.
That's all that we have for Mr. Bolger.
Okay,
let me exhibit up on the screen for you if I can do this.
Okay, yes, Mr. Carmody.
Thank you, Mr. Bulger. I haven't had an opportunity to meet you. My name is Jamie Carmody, and I work with West Sound Support Services. In November through the end of December of 2018, what was your position with DCD?
At that time, I was the assistant director in the position that I currently am in, serving in right now.
And what's that position?
Assistant director for the Department of Community Development.
Do you have responsibility for particular areas of the department activities?
Yes, I'm responsible for managing the planning and environmental program, which comprise our long-range planning activities, which include code development, also environmental programs. And then the other section that I have kind of direct responsibility for is our development services and engineering, which includes our current permitting, which is kind of our zoning review, as well as site development, so the engineering and grading and clearing type activities.
Did you have a manager for your current permit planning division?
Yes, the development services and engineering has a manager, Scott Diener.
And he was the manager at the time of the latter 2 months of 2018 and has continued in that role to this day?
Yes.
What are his responsibilities?
His responsibilities are to kind of manage the two sections within that division, which I described earlier, which is kind of the current planning, which is the permit review and land use activities that use Title 17 and the review of permit applications that are made to the department, as well as looking at the site development activities that are going on in the development of those land use proposals or projects.
Does he have authority to review activities that come to the department's attention that may or may not be compliant with zoning code requirements?
Yes, he does have that ability and authority to review those projects.
Did he exercise that authority in this particular land use situation?
We had no formal application to the department or any kind of formal consultation with the department on this particular issue.
Do you need an application for a similar use determination?
Typically, we would get a formal request to do that, because if somebody came in and was looking at an allowable land use and it wasn't in the use table in Title 17, that would be a prohibited use, and we would have to go through a like use determination.
Okay, and that's typically initiated by an application, or does the department or the director initiate that request?
No, it could be based on a consultation with the department.
Could it be initiated by the department itself?
Generally, we wouldn't do that.
Could it be generated or initiated by the department itself?
Yes.
Was that, or did that occur in this case?
I think in this case, when we were looking at the facility on Viking Way, and as we were learning about it, we were trying to assess whether this would have been an allowable use, and the determination was that it wasn't, hence the notice of violation.
Amanda, could you put up our exhibit number 7, please?
This is the appellant's exhibit 7?
Yeah.
And this
so
is the
WSS
one.
7. That doesn't look right.
All right, do you mean DCD? I thought I heard you say DCD
no,
earlier.
No, I mean mine. I have, what I submitted was WSS 7, bait stamp 83 to 90, email from Scott Diener to Alan Fry, 12/13 of 18. I had as a listed as a number 7 for West Sound Support Service exhibits. Those look like attachments to the briefing that we talked about earlier.
Is it possibly within the DCD? I did see that.
Are all my other exhibits not there?
I wonder if we should take a brief recess
you
to
know,
sort this.
I submitted 19 exhibits that were designated WSS 1 through 19.
Let's take a brief recess. We'll go offline for about 5 minutes to sort this and make sure we've got everything.
Amanda, is that